Amen. Okay, good morning. Daddy, in one of your teachings, you mentioned that Brother Ebuna came from America and was told to wait for 4 years before the relationship was approved. All right. Yes, okay, let me even explain it in batches before I go ahead. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in running with the teaching, amen. All right. Running with the teaching I just took. I think I took the teaching last week. It was last week that I took the teaching. When he came, Amaka was less than 1 year in church. She was less than 1 year in church. And I just felt that it's wisdom for a lady to have taken time to mature a little bit with the word. All right. And then maybe if Amaka was an old sister in age, it may have been a different strategy. But for then, I felt that, okay, she was not too old in age. She was not too old. And then I felt that she needed just to spend some time being grounded up. So, and then for Ebuna too, it was just freshly new in church. Are you getting the picture now? So I just felt that, okay, let them spend time knowing the Lord. And growing with the understanding. Now, what you need to understand is that this word that is being taught is fairly new. And you want people to be grounded in it. I think for Brother Emmanuel Ebuna, he had been following since campus days, which is fairly okay, but there's still a difference in campus and local church. How many of you know that? Yes, all right. So I just felt that let me observe them both for a while, their consistency. Emmanuel's consistency and Amaka's consistency. So that was the idea. So it was not like I put 4 years tag. No. It just played out in 4 years. But it was just a wisdom of oversight to see that we are both consistent. Like I thought with the singles connect, what we are looking for is not perfection of character. We are looking for consistency in certain spiritual traits that we believe will be necessary for you to keep a marriage or keep a home. Can we say amen? So, Shay, you understand what I'm saying? All right. So my question is this. What if a brother had approached daddy concerning a sister, but she was unaware while the suitors from outside were also requesting a hand in marriage? What would the pastors communicate to her while without telling her that a brother is waiting? How would the pastors communicate this to her without telling her that a brother is waiting? Okay, so I think if I get the question right, the issue is that... Now, it's not hard. Listen, if another brother outside is saying something, you come and tell us. It's as simple as that. When you see that there's another brother outside showing interest... Except, if you understand all I taught last week, you understand that I said that if you're going to marry a brother that you don't have agreement in doctrine, then you'll allow friendship to go on for a while. That process of friendship is where you now agree. The Bible says, can two walk together? Oh, you're not answering. Can two walk together? It's a simple thing. So, in the process of friendship, if you have seen that the brother looks interested in getting married to you, then you inform one of your pastors that, so maybe it's Pastor CG, like I have this friend and it looks like he may end up in a relationship that is more formal. I just feel I need to carry you along. It's not hard. All right? It's not that you are rolling it at the back. No, don't roll it at the back. The Bible says a multitude of what? Counsel, there is safety. So you are not going to be if you follow this ethics, there's not going to be like you're going to lose on both sides. I think that is what the question seems to. That's the fear. You can't lose on both sides. He that believeth will not make haste. And he that believeth cannot lose. That's my own version. What did I say? And he that believeth cannot lose. Eh? There's no... By true faith and patience, you always inherit life. Sure, you get what I'm saying? God's word does not fail. Can we say amen? What did I say? So anytime you see a brother showing interest in you, just let the leadership know. And like we have taught you already, let each other be your friend, be each other's friends. And then part of friendship is when you keep each other, you share your faith. When the brother sees that you're a serious sister, he will make up his mind if he wants to marry you or not. You know, there are some brothers, when they see that you are talking church, God too much, they're cut off. This is my own opinion. Don't marry that kind of brother. It's the truth. If you notice that he doesn't like God, when you're talking God, he say, don't talk God. There are some guys like that. He said, don't talk God. Let's be practical, sir. So, but if you see that he has a good heart, he's opening himself, fine. Give him time to learn. Don't rush him. But you know that he has a heart for you to both learn. You know, I know some of you here that you are doing a good job in that, and that's wonderful. He listens to message. You share scriptures together. You know, you fellowship on the word. Beautiful. That is friendship, fellowship that is maturing. Can we say amen? But I'm talking about a case where the guy, or maybe the lady, if it's another way, is not showing interest. All right, for me, I don't believe in you trying to woo a lady that is not interested in your path. To me, I feel that if you're a brother like that, you're not wise. You don't know what you're looking for. Maybe you're attracted by physical beauty. When you share your faith, share your understanding, and the lady is not showing any sign or response, it's like in chemistry, we call them inert gas. You know, they don't respond. They are inflammable. You can't put fire near them. Nothing will happen. You understand? If you put fire near inert gas, nothing's going to happen. All right? So, you know that this sister is not Kogbina. You give her Momieli Kogbina. You give her Momieli Kogbina. You give her Pastor Fisayo Kogbina. Sir, run. Run. She doesn't see anything. She's not interested. People get challenged to want to grow up. My problem is not that. I believe that there's nobody that cannot change. Everybody should be given opportunity to change. But when given the opportunity, how is their response? That is the most important thing. Are they opening up? Do they want to grow? Because those things are good signs. You cannot push them aside. All right? So that when you get married, you'll not be having problem. When you want to pray, say, I'm not praying. You don't see some men like that. Go and pray your prayer. Me, I don't have time for prayer. I use my mind. Or you say you want to go to church. You say it's not going to church. That church is not. It's not all these churches. I'm not into churches. I just talk to my God. Yes, I just talk to my God. Have you not known some men that don't do church at all? And their wife are the one going to just say, all this church that you people are doing, I don't understand you. With all the church you are going, you have not changed. So you will know, you can pick those traits right from when you are in friendship. You can, if you are very discerning, you will pick those traits. So that's why I said for sisters that will marry outside the waters, don't let emotions go ahead of you so that it does not becloud your judgment. So that when you see things, you can confront them and you know where each other are going. All right? Because a priority is that God is the one leading your family. You know, when a lady submits to a man, that's just the truth. He's your head. And you must make sure that your head is under Christ. You don't understand? Somebody is your head. If your head is under Satan, you need to, I want you to think about it. You know, there is to say something, Yoruba Ronu. Have you heard that statement before? Yoruba Ronu, brethren, Ronu. Ronu now. So if I'm going to submit to a man, And the Bible says that the head of a woman is a man. The head of the man is Christ. The head of Christ is God. So you have to be sure that the head of the man that you want to make your head is under a correct head. Because Christ is the correct head. What did I say Christ is? So please make that be certain. Don't let a man rush you into marriage. There's no rushing. See, you don't need to rush. I mean, I was still telling my wife yesterday, you can pause your marriage for 1 year, for 18 months, even for 2 years. I don't care. As far as I'm concerned. He said, what do you mean? Yes, to me, I feel that those are major issues to sort out. All right? Even relationships, for me as a person, I have put brake on some relationships. I said, let's put brake on this relationship because there's no point. A car that does not have control, if you don't press brake. Shall you understand? Are you following my mind? Let's put some brake and check if everything is in their proper place. It does not say anything. Family is putting. Tell your family that your pastor says you should wait. And if they come and meet me, I'll tell them that, do they want a good home for their children? Because many of them, when crisis come, they are the ones that help you divide the home. Yes, I know what I'm talking about. Most times, families take side of their children. I know, I'm talking from experience. Your parents will likely support you. If it's your wife, if it's your woman, your daddy will support you. If you're a brother, your mommy will support you. Ijabere. So there's no point. So nobody should force you into any marriage. There's no forcing. If there are signs that we feel are not consistent with the marriage that can do well, let us wait. Tell your parents that we want to wait. There are one or two things that we are trying to sort out. It's no more than that. There's no pressure anywhere. They are putting you under pressure. If they are putting you under pressure, why should you be pressured? Why shall I be pressured? Don't be pressured. Someone can put you under pressure, but you will not be pressured. I believe that the real pressure is not from outside. It's inside pressure. If the external pressure has not become internal pressure, you are okay. Just tell them that we are just checking one or two things. They say, including finances. Don't rule away the place of finances. The issue is that the family can rush you and support you, sir. When you mind, nobody, they give you money. I hope you know that. So sort out your finances. It's part of it. Sort out your, nobody will give you money. Because many traditional cultural concept of marriage feel that when you marry, money starts coming. You know, they be like that too. So it doesn't happen like that. In every sense. So just take time to sort out the things that matter most. Your finances, all right? One or two issues that should be in place for the home to be running, run well, all right? So that's my prayer. So, oh sister, do not be afraid. You have a good pastor, all right, that cares for all your concerns. So once you have a brother toasting you from outside, let us know. I'm even interested in knowing that sort of brother, yes. He say, oh, baby, you know I love you, baby. You know, I can't live without you, baby. I cannot live without you. I cannot breathe without you. You know, amen. Hallelujah. I believe that Christians should be singing love songs. So I'm waiting for some of the guys in the choir. Let's do some love songs. Why is it that unbelievers are the ones singing love songs? I mean, sometimes you consider, you see some of their lyrics. You know this old secular, I swear. You should not be unbelievers singing that kind of song. I want to sing. Sir, you don't know. If you don't have Holy Ghost, you cannot swear. If you don't have Christ in your soul, sir, you cannot swear. In fact, you need everlasting life. You need word of oaths. Sir, the Holy Ghost. Oh, the best way. You run up, sir. So, see, choir, let's start writing love songs. How many of you like the song Mommy sang for me? Everybody say currently trending.
Currently trending.
Sing, let's sing love song for one another. Uh-huh. Because at times when a brother sang love song to your ear, you sir, what's he lost, sir? So, but let's just do the right things. Let us put those things in place. All right? It's just for our safety. All right? Good. All right. I think I've done justice to this. Let's move forward. Okay. What can I do in a situation where a brethren keeps doing things that hurt? And I genuinely forgive in the place of prayer. But because of constant hurt, I saw that I am always withdrawn from that brethren. It means that not two things. You have to learn to develop stature from that brethren. Now, the issue, I'm going to address that brethren, but for you, you have to believe God that you can forgive without being hurt. Because that is going to be useful for your own personal work with God. All right? If you're always being hurt by someone, it means you don't have the stature yet in your growth to undo such a person. So that is a call for you to trust God for grace, to mature in love. Can we say amen?
Amen?
However, this is the balance. If you cannot handle it, then talk to us. It's possible that you have gone off limits and it has gotten up to here. That is where we can come in and know how to manage. If it's a very unruly brethren, we can manage that brethren. All right. So I'm thinking that if this thing is really, really dealing with you, then you should talk to some of the leaders in the house. Probably they getting involved can now cause the process of your own healing to be faster. And then they can also manage the infirmity of that brethren. All right. So it means that this is already going beyond what you can personally handle. And there's no crime in it. All of us are growing. There are people that you may not be able to handle because you don't have the wisdom and the maturity to handle them yet. And that does not mean you're a bad person. You are growing too. It's not everybody I can handle, also myself. If, as a pastor, I tell Jesus, I say, you are the chief shepherd. Is it Ele Joab? This one pass my own shepherding grace. That's, yes, now there are some souls that, like that. So don't feel bad that you are feeling hurt by these brethren. Probably these brethren has close proximity with you and you cannot even run away from the brethren. And the excesses of the brethren's nature or infirmity is affecting you and you are feeling hurt. Please let us know. Reach out to us. Don't be shy. We may have to call that brethren into order. Depending on what is happening, we may have to call that brethren into order. And there are some terrible things that happen at times that, you know, a saint may not be able to handle. It takes authority to deal with that issue. You know, some brethren take advantage of other brethren. All them are gochukuro. We are coming for you. Yes, I need to let you know. We are coming for you. Wherever you are in this church, we are coming for you. If that case gets to my table, we are coming for you. So if it's an issue, we are going to handle it. So I want to encourage you. Please open up. Because at times some things happen that hold you agbara brethren. I mean, what do you think? It's more than what you can handle. Can we all say amen? So if you can't handle it anymore, it's causing progressive odds. Please reach out to leadership. Talk to the pastors. They will step in and start working. If it's beyond your ability, I will come in. If it's beyond my ability, Jesus will come in. And Jesus is really strong on things like that. Amen. Don't let it get to Jesus' level. You don't know what if it happened to you. All right. So I think I've done justice to this. So how do I maintain a loving and humble relationship with brethren who believe I'm not yet Christ and also believe my love work is still questionable? I know I'm not. You don't need to be Christ. Listen. Let me not go ahead. I stay at that comma. You understand? Brethren can have expectation on you. And the expectation on you is a good expectation. All right? That you need to grow up. No, even the brethren, are they Christ yet? They are not. So if somebody is standing in your neck concerning an issue in your life, see it the right way. Don't protect yourself. Humble yourself. Because even the brethren correcting you, it's not like they don't have their infirmity. But and this issue is not about them. It's about you. That's how you deal with issues. If you want to grow, okay, is this thing true? If it's true, then I work on it. And I apologize to my brethren. Pray for me. But I'm going to work on this. It's as simple as that. You know, even couples have it. These are practical things. All right? Maybe my wife is complaining about something. I say, sweetheart, I know I have this thing. I'm working on this. Please pray for me. That is better. You don't need this one. This one does not need any drama. All right? This is how we feel at times. When people are coming hard on something, we can either react in two ways. You can actually humble yourself and receive what they are telling you, or you can start fighting back. And that one will not do you good. So, nobody is yet Christ, or we are all becoming like Christ. I think that's a better statement. All right? So, and consequently, they doubt the accuracy of my judgment and opinions. And because of this, I sometimes prefer not to involve myself in discussions and other activities. I don't agree with this in any way. Let me tell you something. The scripture says we have the mind of Christ. You need to submit your judgment. If you cannot trust a corporate body to judge, and I can give you a million and one scriptures for this. The Bible says, let what? One professor, let the others judge. There's nothing in the New Testament that agrees that I see something, I run it by myself. You have to be able to submit it. It's part of the ethics of the faith. So that is it. It's just like saying, you know, like I was teaching in Lagos. All right, you submit something and your pastor has issues with it. Go and pray again. That is safety on your part. Than saying, I don't care. This is what I see. If you're like that, you're going to make mistake. As a Christian, you can't run well. So God is the one that put all these checks there. All right? Me, I'm thinking that why will 3, 4, 5 brethren not trust your opinion? Think about it. If not that you are having issues. The only reason why people are not going to trust your opinion is, it's just like, Olubio and Anu telling me that I should trust them and I'm seeing some things that are untrustable. No, I want you to relate with me. I'm looking at them. It's like, I'll tell them. I can't. It's not like I don't want to trust you, but you're not giving me conditions to trust you. So, what is trust? Trust is based. You know, faith is different from trust. I've told you. I have faith in Friday. It's even that I trust Friday. If I say I trust Friday, it's because I know Friday. And I've seen that it can be trustable. I don't know. Are you following me? So if people don't trust you, your judgment and opinion, it's not in... See, let me give you an example now. I want to trust your judgment and opinion on one matter. I will have seen your judgment and opinion on other matters over time. And I've seen that, okay, if you have done well in this, then most likely you do well in this. A very good example is marriage. It's not in marriage that your opinion will start counting. Sure, you get what I'm saying? It means that before you make decisions on marriage, we have seen you make decisions by progressively, and you have worked in them. It has been proven and tested. And then trust is a develop, and you can even God relate with us like that. So accuracy is a product of fruits that you are also bearing. If you bear some good fruits, people will judge, people will believe. Even before you even say it, you say, I trust this person. When you say, I trust this person, what do you mean? It's because you know that this person has proven in their character that they can be trusted. And I've told you that when it comes to trust, please, we have to allow the process of trust to develop. If not, you have to be broken many times. Amen. I can't trust you with money if you have not proven that you can be trusted. I hope you are with me. So this is a struggle. It's a struggle because you don't trust your brethren's judgments. And you have to sort that out. Now, if you don't trust your brethren's judgment, if it's at brethren level, and you are not satisfied, then move it to pastors. And also submit the same thing and hear their opinion. You know, if, for instance, I'm submitting to my brethren at my level, you know, brethren at level of brethren, and I don't trust their judgment on a matter, all right? Then I know that there are people that are more mature than the brethren. I don't know if I get what I'm saying. Let me move it to their own table and let them also judge the matter. That is how to be. But don't make up your mind and say, I'll follow mom. If you're like that, you're going to injure yourself. All right? So that ought is coming from a position that you are not willing to shift from. It's not brethren oughting you. You are oughting yourself. Because you are not willing to open up yourself to correction and judgment. So like I said, if you're not satisfied with brethren, move it to another level. Let people also that are more mature than the people judge the matter. It's not hard. You understand? This thing is not far-fetched. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. So somebody, for instance, when it comes to, I noticed something that I missed. I've grown to also appreciate and respect brethren. Don't joke with the church. At times, when you look at, when we do this, you know this birthday prayer we normally do? It's one way I used to know. Even me, during my birthday, when prophecy is not coming, some were commendable. Some were giving me commandments. Were you all there? Should we were there? Things I was supposed to come into, and it was brethren. I can't block my ears to those things. I will not prosper. Barely. Some of the prophecies say you will die. You don't understand? Some of the prophecies say you will die. I could interpret it well. I knew that some were commendable. But some were telling me that I am still going to journey more. And interpreted in more depth. So you see, I need to open myself. And that's the spirit of prophecy. I miss brethren. So don't play with brethren. So I noticed that when we are having birthday parties, I observe it over when brethren are praying and talking. I'm always the last to talk. By the time I listen to all of them, I can see Christ is talking. If you are sincere, you will know that Otoni Kini. I mean, how many people bear witness to what I'm saying? People that have benefited from that brethren prayer thing. So it's the same thing that happens with judgments when they judge a matter. But when I have a mind that brethren don't like me, it begins there. Then you will not be able to open up yourself to truth. This is not about a likeness or not. In fact, at times, amen. Most of the time, somebody that is on you, on your case, the natural canon interpretation that the person does not like you. You have to overgrow that thing. If you are going to do well in your walk with God, at times, God can even possess somebody for your case. God can possess brethren to reinforce against you. I remember when I was growing up, my elder brother, I have one elder brother and two younger ones are not from my mom. Then, and I had two cousins that grew up with us. So because I was the last, at times I used to want to be rebellious, They will reinforce and beat me. Yes. They will reinforce and beat me. All of them will be saying the same thing. I'll be trying. You know, looking back, I just saw how foolish I was. And all those things they used to say are true. But I would try. I just look at it. So at times, when you are young, you are not wise. So let me tell you something. Learn this. If 4 people are saying the same thing, Otoni, it's not a lie. It's Oto. There is going to be a truth in that matter. If there are more than 4, there is not a bias, kakan. It's the truth. Just humble yourself and listen. It means they are all seeing you. You don't see yourself. All the people are seeing you. They are seeing that you have this problem. Everybody sees it, sir. Just humble yourself and go and allow the Lord to work change in your life. So the hearts, the only way you can relate without taking offense is, number one, acknowledge your faults. All right? And that will help you to be open up, to be blessed. If you're not satisfied with your brethren's judgment, take it to your pastors. They will have more wisdom in handling that matter. All right? And after your pastors have judged it, I think to me, it should have been resolved. If it's no longer resolved, then it shows that you are stubborn. You are stubborn, yes. Or you're unresilient on your issue. So, like I said it in Love Sea, I said, you can't, for instance, you can't throw tantrums and make me change my mind. When children throw tantrums, when you are raising children, because by the grace and mercy of God, I'm a spiritual father, and I'm fathering children. When your children are throwing tantrums, your natural children, you don't answer them. If you answer them, you are spoiling them. Eh? You know some children, when you don't give them something, I know one child, when we were growing up, you know, when you don't give him what he wants, he will knock his head on the floor. Yes. And he'll be rolling. You hear me? I know that boy. That if I already am a wugan, I've never seen that kind of job before. You know what we used to do then? We will beat him more. We'll beat him up. Shut up. Poor. He will not come. Yeah. Then after, he will not mellow. Can you imagine? Or you see a child at times, when you don't give them something, they will throw away everything, they start throwing things. So if you leave your child that way, you are a bad parent. You have to restrain that nature. That's not a good nature. So if you are a brother, we are talking to you and you are throwing tantrums, we will deal with you. You are hearing it from your senior pastor. We are not going to leave you alone. Is it that two things? Is it that you change and you are broken, or you make your decision? Worst case, you will leave church. That's the worst that can happen. And I pity you. Because the next church you're going to go, that pastor does not have your file. He doesn't have your file. For me as a person, oftentimes, that's why I don't like treating personal pastoral cases. Just like that. Because if you do it, you will enter into trouble. Maybe you know, As a field minister, at times when you minister around, you meet cases of people, they want to come and meet you for pastoral counseling. For my experience, I ask them, what has your pastor said? Because I'm a field minister, I'm not the one pastoring you. You can't know Lubia now, no more than me. Because we live in the same house. So what I'm saying is that, please, I'm begging you. Right? Be open. When the brethren are on your neck on a matter, at times they may correct you in the flesh, in quotes, because they are also growing. But be mature enough and take what they are saying and work on it and grow thereby. And if you are not satisfied with their judgment, like I said, take it to the leadership. I'm sure it will be resolved at that level. But don't hold on your position. If you do so, you'll be breaking ethics of the Spirit. May the Lord give you understanding. All right? So let's go ahead. As I read my Bible this season, I find my thoughts aligning with the teachings from 8 years, morning devotion, and the School of Christ, as well as my own understanding of the Scriptures. However, after reading, I sometimes wonder if my interpretation is accurate. What should I do? I don't understand. No. See, if your thought is aligning with the teachings of 8 years, morning devotion, School of Christ, as well as my understanding of Scriptures, you are doing fine. I don't know. I said there's any other thing. You said, however, after reading, I wonder if my interpretation, well, that's not hard. Why don't you share with your brethren? And let them also judge. At least you are all hearing the same message. So if you say something that is not accurate, they can say, no, that's not how it was said. You know, I know that in this church, I was told so that we have Bible discussion, brethren discussion groups. I was so impressed when I heard that some people after church, they just go back and review message. I say, wow. So you two have, look for a group like that. Instead of snapping yourself, I'm saying, Glory Sunday. I mean, I don't know what it is. I will call yourself equal. You know what I mean? quickly use the 1 hour. Because, you know, at times, by the time me too, I finish my counseling on Sunday. So, me, I see issues. We have been thinking that the service is like everybody wants to quickly roll up. So, that time that you're in church, you can use the 30 minutes to fellowship and ask people questions. What do you think about this? I just want to be sure I heard well. It's all fellowship with brethren. You can always get accuracy when you do that. All right? Can we all say amen? All right. So let's move ahead. For communion, like praying in the heart stroke mind, can I effectively in my heart mind? Can I pray effectively in my heart stroke mind while walking? Yes, you can. But it's not something that is developed overnight. It takes years of practice. So, of course, we have taught you that you should have a time of devotion, you know, before you face the day, or depending on your own time schedule anyway. But like I said, it's better that it's in the morning. But we are now talking about intermittent fellowship with the Lord through the day. Constant meditation of scripture or whatever the Lord is teaching you or teaching us corporately or individually. And also praying. Praying is praying in the spirit. You can do it now. It's just an intentional thing. You pray and you're underneath your breath. So you can while walking. I mean, there are many things you can do while walking. You can listen to message while walking. Then you can pray while walking. You can pray in the spirit. It may not be in understanding. Because when you pray in understanding, you need some level of attention. But you can pray in the spirit. That's why Paul said that when I pray in the spirit, I pray in understanding. So when I pray in the spirit, my mind is not fruitful. So at that time, your mind can be doing another thing. It's not like your mind is just flying up and down. No, your mind is engaged, maybe in the work. Maybe let's say you are ironing. You can be speaking in tongues. You are washing car. You can be speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues while I'm driving. Because driving does not need, it doesn't need total engagement of mind. It's something that, if you have done driving for a while, it's installed in your memory. It becomes a way. So it means you can be walking, right? Doing, there are different kind of work. No, there are some work that does not need so much brain work. It's just a routinal work you do every time in office. You do it every time. It doesn't need so much. So while you are doing it, you can be praying underneath your breath. All right? And it's not, I'm not saying praying for a long time. Maybe at most 15 minutes, 20 minutes. At most. Those intermittent prayer, they're not usually long. They're just, you know, like Bishop Oki says, Shambhala there, a little Shambhala there. You know, just here and there. Yeah. And by the time you collate it, it generates a lot of spiritual power. All right? So you can do it. You just need to, like I said, practice it. All right, just little practicing it gradually, and it becomes part of your culture or your nature. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's move ahead. If someone had lost his or fire or life of communion due to sin and a long break from personal devotion, all right, how can that person get back on his feet and communion with God? All right, it starts by repentance. But I mean repentance. I don't mean just amount repentance. This is what I would suggest. After asking God mercy, commit yourself. Go and confess your sin to someone that has oversight over you. You say, what do you mean? Yes, your leaders, they will help you. Okay? Because now, this is the word. The reason why I'm saying that is the word long break. It's not short break. What did I say it is? If it's short break, it's okay. But long break is really long. So you have had a long break from devotion with God. Your getting back into it is going to take some accountability. I don't know if you are getting my reasoning. So you need not just to ask God for forgiveness and repent. You also need to confess your fault to your pastor or oversight, somebody that can personally help you to navigate that spiritual season of trying to get your foot back. Because you are going to be facing a lot of challenges. Number one, it's not something that you have done for a while. So going back to start again will be challenging. You need somebody that will stay on your neck and make sure that you are doing it. Number two, you're going to go through the regular challenges of the enemy attacking you with self-condemnation and guilt. And you will need someone to keep encouraging you. All right? So it's not a journey that you may that can be done alone. So I can't give you steps. There's no step to it. It is more of a way based on you being accountable. So after you have asked God for mercy, okay, speak to your leadership. Let them understand what is happening to you. Let them also pray and minister to you. Then that process of now getting back on your feet concerning being devoted to the Lord, they can also help you navigate it. Can we all say amen? Making sure that, okay, you can now take those gradual steps, daily steps, and you start getting better in your frequent devotion with the Lord, and that begins to build up on a culture of communion that you either once had or you never even had before, but that is now an expression ongoing in your life. So that is what I'm going to advise with you. Don't go through this journey alone. You need a lot of help, support, and courage to keep going. God bless you. The Statement Church is hospital, correct? And if yes, how can a church be an hospital at the same time be a family? Why not? If you have attended ATS too, the church has many sides. The church is an army. The church is a bride. The church is a body. The church is a temple. What again? The church is a family. So the church is many things from scripture. The church is a temple, is this, is many things. The church is an army, is a temple, is a family. So a church can be an hospital and a family at the same time. In fact, there is hospital in a family. By that, we mean that the concept of people being treated, spiritually speaking, is a nature that the family must have. So there is no, the church being an hospital and a family is not mutually exclusive. Can we all say amen? As a matter of fact, it is mutually inclusive. So even when you look at the hospital setting very well, it's a family. Yes, if you stay long in an hospital, you become family with the... It's because you always go for short-time treatments. If you... my hair alone treating. If you treat... I remember, you know, there was a time that, you know, my daddy's clinic was at the back of our house. So there was a particular boy that came to do a kind of surgery. I've forgotten the surgery. That it took a surgeon to come. My daddy's a gynae. He took a surgeon to come. And when they did it, the guy was in the hospital. He was supposed to heal up for a long time. I don't know what it was. So, but after a while, because the guy was around our age mates, he moved from the hospital to our house. So he loved our relationship and all that. So anytime his dad is coming, he will fake as if he's still sick. Say, daddy, say, oh, dear. She didn't do me. It's a lie. He didn't want to go home. He did that for about 4 months. So the last time, I said, oh, Lord, lele. He was crying. He was crying. He was crying. He kept hugging everybody. So you can see. And what I'm saying is that if you stay long in an hospital, the cleaner will be your friend. The nurse will be your friend. Huh? If you stay long in hospital, hospital becomes family. I don't know if you are making any sense. I'm making any sense. It's like that. All right? People will know you. Go to UCH. Some of the patients have been there for years. They have become part of the family. In the psychiatric world, some of them, they have become, I'm not a Pembe. They'll be telling the other ones that, oh, it's a Pembe, Farabale, Omo Yami. They will use all my yami for you. You don't know what I'm talking about. So church and hospital are not mutually exclusive, right? All right, church is family. And church is a place where people are made whole. All right, so there is no mutual exclusivity there. Can we all say amen? Amen. Glory to God. All right, let's move on. How can I tell you if you are offended? How can I tell if you are offended? Can you be hurt and not get into offense yet? When you say somebody is hurt, hurt is the byproduct of being offended. So you, when you are hurt, you have been offended. Because you can do something to me and I'm not hurt. Neither am I offended. That does not mean I'm pleased with you. So let me balance this because at times we mix it up. I am displeased with you or angry with you does not mean I'm offended. Anger is not sin. So you want me to prove that to you? Give me scripture. Anger is not sin. Anger is an emotion of displeasure. So I can be displeased with you does not mean I'm offended. And some of us don't get this at times. Maybe when, because the rebuke can come out of displeasure or anger. That does not mean I'm offended. I'm not happy with what you are doing. But when anger becomes sin, you know, I've taught you this before. Be angry and sin not. He's even talking to a church of Christ. Because he just talked about putting on the new man. So the new man can be angry. But he said, now don't sin. Meaning don't sin in thought, word, or deed. What did I say? All right? So be angry. He said, then he now went further. He says, let not the sun go down what? On your rod. Let's look at this. I don't want to open up revelation from this. What this means is that don't allow the day to go and you are still angry. Or don't even allow anger to become wrath. Because wrath is not anger. There's anger, there's wrath. Wrath is rage. Have you seen wrath before? Wrath is rage. So what they are saying is that don't allow that thing to go beyond its boundary. If you're angry with someone, don't allow it to let you sin. Don't allow it to become rot. Allow the nature of the spirit or the work of the spirit in your life to allow you to let go. All right? Because in that place, it now talks about forbearance. Look at the next verse. Let's read down. Neither give place to the devil. So you give place to the devil. Can we all say amen? I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Neither give place to the devil. You give place to the devil when you allow the sun to go down on your wrath. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away. So you can see, if you don't understand Paul, you'll be confused. He said anger now. So, but this anger is not, he can't say be angry and say put off anger. What he's talking about now is the one that is motivated by sin nature. So there is, Jesus was angry, for instance, with those people that were trading in the house of God. He was not smiling with them. So that's an emotion of displeasure. But Jesus did not sin. Even when he flogged them. Hello. What did I say? Imagine you seeing Jesus flog somebody. What will you say of him? If Jesus was in this century, we'll have crucified. Oh my God. What nonsense is that? Remember when Papa slapped one girl? I'm not justifying anybody. I'm just using that example. Papa Oedipo slapped one girl. Somebody took it offline. I was one human right something. They started saying all kind of rubbish. At times, slap can reset you, sir. I'm not saying I'm slapping. I've not slapped anybody before. I'm not looking at it like the girl was even a young girl. I'm sure maybe it was an elderly person. Papa will not do that. I'm sure Papa just go. I don't know who is Papa's last born. Papa's last born. I mean, oh, far, far older than that person. His two sons are above 40 already. They are not young boys. That man suffered that time. So imagine you are crossing, you went to service one day, you see Jesus flogging people out of the church. He's using koboko. Why? Of course, you know, in this generation, people will not say that they were using when we enter the tent church. Maybe just imagine. Let's face the 21st century scenario. People are pressing phone or messing, you know, doing all kind of things in church. That instead of maybe praying and doing service, maybe I just enter church. Instead of praying and doing service, and people are just playing up and down, dancing. Dancing. What's the latest dance step now? I'm saying, I know they everybody there, but they everybody's the whole place is in disarray, and I remove belts. Hello, hello, and I remove belts. I start flogging people. So you want to make City Gate Church a church of I flog everybody out, and now say that's all right. Somebody will have filmed this. I say. They will not say that they are dancing. So nobody will have said that Jesus, they were selling and buying in the temple. Even under Old Testament law, God should even judge them. Oh, you're called Kusi Ben. You don't understand? They should have, if when he, Jesus guy. So I'm only telling you the nature of the times. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. All right? So, anger is an emotion of displeasure, but it should not lead to sin. All right? We need to know when we are displeased with our brother or someone that they are wrong. Let us express our displeasure, but walk in the Spirit. You should always be in the Spirit. Don't allow them to move you into, and this is where at times we break the boundary. Don't allow them, and don't allow that anger to escalate. Remember, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. What did I say? Means you are controlled. That emotion can be controlled. So that emotion can be controlled. Can we all say amen? The Lord will grant you understanding. All right. I think I've tried there. All right. So. This is serious. Huh? This is a piece. In my parents' church, we have a head pastor and under pastor. I wanted to take a decision based on what the Lord told me. So I told our head pastor, and he gave a go ahead. But our under pastor gave a contrary opinion, of course. I told him that our head pastor gave me a go ahead. I was confused at that point. I couldn't go back to our head pastor because I didn't know how it would sound if I told him that our under pastor advised me otherwise. So I paused by not doing such a thing. And failure to make such a decision led to serious financial problems to the extent of entering into debt. Oh. So since then, always try to avoid speaking to the under pastor about it. This what is the way out. All right. I understand this. This is what I think it is. All right. We work as a team. And as a team, we also consolidate and complement. And at times, you know, there can be gaps in our understanding. So what you should have done, if your head pastor had told you to go ahead, all right, and your under pastors gave you a different advice, if your under pastor knew what your head pastor would do, the proper ethics is that the under pastor will go and even talk to your head pastor about it. Now, listen, it's possible that your head pastor may not have made a perfect decision. It's possible. It's not because the head pastor is always right, under pastor is wrong. No, it doesn't happen that way. At times, the head pastor makes decision on what is available. It is possible that the other pastor even has more information. So, in that case, the under pastor will go and meet the head pastor. That, daddy, I heard that this happened, but I just felt I needed to let you know that these are the issues on ground. I said, I did not know. So for me as a pastor, normally what I normally do is, if I don't have direct access to you, I would probably call a pastor and ask for them to give me information that they have. Because you can't judge at times when you don't have perfect information. And at times, some saints, they know how to hide information. They play hanky-panky. They go and tell, the under pastor knows you more because they are closer to you. So they understand your peculiarities. The head pastor is seeing you from afar. He may not know your peculiarities. So his decisions may still be impaired. Except he now has full information, or you opened up fully. Because now I'm speaking from experience. I've had some cases, some people have otigba misa. Ben, they did not tell me the whole matter. So I made my mommy to ask that experienced that. So we just, I said, hey, you can do this, but one or two things were not said. So when I end, I said, no. I wouldn't have given you this counsel if I had known this. So at times, the under pastor may be right. And this is humility. So in our pastoral team, we submit to each other. Even me, I submit. I don't claim. Yes, I'm more experienced than the under pastors. I don't doubt that. And they know that. But even at that, I still submit when I listen to their perspective. I can submit when I know that they are bringing a superior judgment. So that's how the pastoral team runs. So that you can't divide us. That's how the pastoral team runs. We run by, there are times that when we have pastors meeting, I allow them to talk, I listen to them, and I make judgments. Because there are things that they are dealing with that at a closer range. Somebody recently sent me something. I said, no. I said, I don't pastor directly anymore. I said, go and meet your immediate pastors. Let them sort it out. Now, they know that anytime they do an issue and they handle an issue, they give me feedback. And I've said it before, and there's no sin in it. If you are not satisfied with an under pastor's judgment, you will have the right under Jesus to come to me. I am the final point of pastoring in this church. You can do that. And you have direct access to me. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. That gives us, I don't believe in a church of bureaucracy. That you can't meet, you can't see Pastor David, you have to go through me. If I see any pastor do that, I'm going to fight that pastor. That is wrong. The saints have access. If a saint chooses to see me, they can see me. I cannot have the final, how will I put it? Whatever, and say, oh, go and meet Pastor CG. I'm busy. Whatever Pastor CG says, you know, Pastor CG will always, because all of them come and meet me and they submit whatever decision they do. All right? And if I'm not okay with it, I can call that person and speak with that person. But you have direct access to me. But the truth is that I'm more busy. You see, if you wait on me, you may wait a long time. Because I have many things I'm doing. It depends on the matter. If you understand pastoral order, it was Jethro that gave Moses that wisdom. You can't be handling everybody. Somebody who is fighting here, somebody is fighting there, I'll be the one doing it. That's not going to be a good church. We already have, in fact, some issues, KCC leaders can handle it. Eh? That's why we have SLTs, we have KC, we HODs. That's why they are there. It doesn't even need to get to associate pastors. They have already handled it. Some issues, households will handle it. Because there are minor issues. As far as I'm concerned, brethren fighting brethren, it should start from household. Because he jai dileni. household fight. Brethren in the household should try to resolve the fight. If it does not get resolved, they can move to their KCC end. From their KCC end, they can get to their associate pastor. It's not hard. That's how church runs. Uh-huh. So, and when eventually when I had that issue, it was something that the pastors could handle. Because eventually, when the person went to meet the pastors, they came to meet me as usual and told me, I said, you already know what to do. It's an easy thing. That's how church works. And I also want you to trust the judgment of your under pastors. Because I know they are growing, but they are also following me. They are also learning. So I don't allow,
Because I know some people can have personal problem with another pastor. Because they may be stronger on you. Because they are seeing you more directly. And I can be a little bit softer on you. Does not mean that I am permitting what you are doing. It's Ogbonagba. I do Ogbonagba for many people. If you come and meet me, I say, oh, sorry, it is well. It is because I don't want you to leave church. That other pastor will say, phenomenal. Because he's the one seeing you. And when the other pastor comes, say, continue your work. You are doing well. I can just say, Kofogbonshe. That's how I do. I'm telling you now, I'm giving you a rejo so that you understand. So don't have a problem with your personal. So what you'll have done in this case, because what you felt is that you are going to expose the under pastor. There's no exposure in anything. All of us are in training. We're all learning. All right? You can call me. I rebuke my pastors. That is between us. All right? So instead of suffering this financial loss, you should have come and talked. So that one is your fault. A lot of people say, I don't want to say this so that I will not be as if I'm exposing this pastor. Don't do that. Come and talk to us if you are not satisfied. Because we're a church of growth. And I want to tell you this, that my pastors here, we have grown. There was a time that some issues have happened. Some of them have gone to apologize to saints. It's part of meekness. I have told some people in this church, sorry. It's not. There's nothing hard. I'm not a perfect pastor. I've never told you I'm perfect. Neither are they perfect. We are growing in pastoring. So when we are wrong, we can apologize to you. And you have to also accept our apology. Because you're also not perfect. You know, a lot of people are always hard on pastors. Can you do what they are doing? Can you do better? But I feel that this kind of scenario was a misunderstanding. All right? So if it was now a case where maybe after the under pastor knew what the senior pastor had said and was still insistent on that, then that is a case of rebellion on disorderliness. And we're going to take that up. As you see me, so I hate disorderliness. I frown at it 100%. I don't think any of them are like that. Because they know my stand on it. I don't like dishonor. I can permit your weakness, but not dishonor. Because disorderliness is rebellion. It's going to, you have already opened door for Satan. Satan likes rebellion more than anything because that is his nature. Satan can even be nice. A satanic spirit is a nice spirit. But it is a rebellious spirit. Meaning it's a disorderly spirit. And one of the roles of senior leadership in the church is to make sure that the church is orderly. Meaning there is alignment. Everybody is submitting. You take your place. Everybody takes their place. So please, don't do that kind of mistake again. All right? If I'm even busy, worst case, you talk to mommy about it. You send her a message. Some people have sent mommy a message. Maybe it has happened in this church. Maybe they were not satisfied with what another pastor said. And they could not approach me. Mommy is an intermediary. They send message to mommy. Ah, bye-bye, Lon Shelley. And mommy got involved. And said, no. Don't worry, I will handle it. I will call the pastors and ask them deeply. But I've handled these things before. So I think that don't have a position that you're exposing anybody. Atiba Sele, why we daddy will know that this other pastor did this. It's not about that. We are all serving you. We are here to serve you. What did I say? Nobody is answering me. There's no anything. At times when we talk, we go straight into issues. All right? We correct ourselves. We rebuke ourselves. We get better. We say we are sorry. We get the job done. So don't keep things that can, to the point where you now have, you say you have financial loss. Don't have financial loss. Don't have financial loss. Don't do that. All right? Let us know. There have been some people in this church that, I can tell you, they are there. When the other pastor spoke to them, and they were not satisfied, I said, no, until I see daddy. Someone said, until I see daddy. And they did not agree until they saw me. It's okay. I knew how to undo their peculiarity. All right? When I saw them, some of them, I spoke with them later, I now felt that, okay, I redirected them to their pastors. If you have personal issues with your pastor and under shepherd, as a senior pastor, my work is to make sure that I mend that gap. I will not correct the pastor before you, but I will correct you. I can call the pastor later and tell them, this is how you do, this is how you do, this is how you do, because I'm also a leader and a father. All right? But I'm not supposed to end me drift between you and your pastors. I can't do that. That's rebellion. That's disorderliness. So did you get what I said? I'm not hearing your yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. So that's how we operate. We operate as a team and we're getting better in that. So I think you should have gotten everything I've said. All right. Okay. More about the parents' church, not this church. In the parents' church. All right. The parents' church. Okay, so if it's now your parents' church, now I don't know the structure. Now, thank God I even used City Gate Church. This is like a more perfect example. Now, well, when it comes to churches out there, you have a lot of disparities. We have churches then that the under pastors are not submitting to the head pastor. Yes. In fact, we have churches that the other pastors are more stronger. They gang against their head pastor. I don't know what I can do to that case because I am not pastoring there. In that kind of case, honestly, you are your own. I won't lie to you. There's nothing you can do now. That's a bad spiritual environment. A spiritual environment when there's no order is a bad spiritual environment. It means that the saints will always suffer. They'll be the one that will suffer. I've used our own example about what we do. I try as much as possible to prevent this kind of occurrences. But in an environment where there's an environment where the head pastor is weak. I know some churches like that. The head pastor is just weak. He's just a figure. He's just a celebrity figure. Maybe the other pastor, maybe some of them are rich. So people don't even go and meet the head pastor for counsel. Or neither do, when the under pastor counsels, they don't report to the head pastor. So that's already a divided environment. You are going to suffer. I will never tell a saint to stay in that kind of church. Run. Because you are going to suffer. You are going to suffer. That's not a good church. That's not a good church. So, if that's the case, when it comes to decisions, I don't know if you're asking this question. Is it that you're in City Gate Church? And when you go home, that's the church you attend. If that's the case, when you have things like this, don't tell them. Come and tell us here. It means you have two churches. When you're at home, you attend your parents' church. When you're around, maybe in school, or you're in Ibadan, you attend City Gate Church. So when it comes to peculiarity of a matter, personal counseling, don't submit to that kind of place. Because there's a lot of disorderliness in that environment. Your case cannot be properly handled. So I think you just need wisdom. Okay, I just see in my parents' church. So that's the issue. All right. I can't do that though. Go and listen to my message on Tuesday. There's no layman anything there. It was all a layman. Go and listen. Let me tell you, listen. Listen. There's no layman understanding. Let me explain. You have a challenge. Covenant, testimony, and prophecy is an everlasting doctrine. All right? So, one way, one challenge you are going to first have, all right, what was it? Huh? You want to change it? It doesn't matter, but Isaiah is saying it. There's no layman's language to it. If you don't understand it, two things. Number one, your doctrine of Christ is shaky, meaning you don't understand the doctrine of Christ well. So I'll tell you, go back to doctrine of Christ. All right? Faith, hope, charity. Huh? Understand Christ well. Don't rush. I've told you before. You can be in an environment, and when you don't understand something fully, does not mean you cannot journey. Keep coming for meetings. And the one you understand, stay with it. Because understanding is also administered over a period of time. So the problem is that sometimes you want to understand, spiritual things don't work that way. All right? For instance, if I hear, someone like, God's servant is an apostle, teaching word, covenant, testimony, and I can understand immediately, you are not me. The reason I can understand almost immediately is because of my understanding and judgment of scripture, my maturity, and I can also confirm that it is truth. So, but for you, it can take a longer time. All right? So two things. Just keep coming for meetings and keep listening because it's a current understanding. It means that it will be emphasized over a period of time. So within that time, your understanding will be fruitful. All right? That you don't understand something, you don't say there's a layman language. I don't understand layman. There's nothing called layman anything. Some people have funny things. Some people have involved, break it down. It's too complex. It's you that need to grow up and start understanding spiritual things. Spiritual things can only be discerned by the spiritual. If you are carnal, you can't understand them. And there's no layman language for the carnal man or the carnal mind. There's no layman language. So what I'll tell you is that don't be discouraged. Just keep coming to meetings. Keep hearing. Keep listening. Keep obeying. Some precepts will not even understand until you enter some level of obedience. Even in precepts, you will not understand. That door will not be open to you. The Holy Ghost will make sure that you do well with morning dew teaching. You are faithful with morning dew teaching. All right? When they say that you are faithful with some of the instructions I've given you. Because at times, what we don't, we disconnect our walk with God with understanding things. You are fighting brethren. And you want to understand testimony. But if you understand, oh, they understand. It's not for people that fight. Amen. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Some of those doors, and even somebody that understands it, the precept wise, and is still fighting, could see it. Information, you are in mass communication. Information without revelation is equals what? Mass com. You are doing mass com. You are doing mass com. If you understand it, you don't know what it does. It's going to affect your work. Uh-huh. So don't be in a hurry, right? Just keep coming for meetings. All right? You notice that in recent time, God has been giving us more clarity on the matter. Even as we are teaching it, more light, more grace. So just be very, very patient. That's what I advise you. The Lord will grant you understanding. But please, right, make sure you are faithful with every other thing the Lord is telling you. Yes, be faithful. Be faithful with your personal walk with God, your personal devotion with the Lord, your walking with the Lord, your giving. Because some of you don't connect giving to breaking into understanding. So, oh, you don't understand it. Oh, are you listening to me? And to my language, understanding. I ever say, amen. If you have an answer, door of revelation will not open. At times, when you build a commandment of even giving, you are giving. One day, you come for meeting, bang. You didn't hear what Paul told Timothy? That when somebody is giving, he's laying himself a good, like a foundation for himself. That foundation is a sure foundation. Everlasting life. So you can use giving to break into understanding of everlasting life. So are you giving? Are you walking in love? Are you communing with the Lord daily? Keep those ones because those ones are easily digestible. Now when you keep all that and keep coming for meeting, one day you see in service, the thing will hit you like a thunderbolt. That's how it happens. Can we all say amen? All right. I think that's clear enough. All right. Okay. So I think, how many questions do we have? 5 more. All right. Let me quickly rush. So if a couple is separated due to negligence and corruption? Okay. Is it spiritual corruption? Nigerian corruption? All right. How can the marriage be reconciled when one side is becoming Christ and the other side is still becoming more corrupt? Which four was this is not... Oh, it was sent online. All right. Pastor is saying it's an online question. I don't know the kind of corruption, but, you know, I hope it's not everlasting corruption. So it looks like more like corruption of maybe somebody is stealing money. Okay, a lot of the what kind of corruption? Because I don't know the source of the separation. I don't know how it was handled. But much lies in the person handling that was involved or that knowledge of why they separated and how they can come together. Some people are separated, but they are still submitted. So that there's still a process of reconciliation going on behind the scene. But in a case where there is separation and somebody is submitting to the Lord and the other person is getting more corrupt, Adura Lokon. Adura, pray. I will pray. If I don't pray, Satan will make a mess. So Adura Lokon, Kusinka Daveshi. It's just like you have two people are separated. And they are separated, but one is coming to church, the other is not coming to church. The other is going to club. What do you do? It becomes badua. It's prayer. Yeah, it's prayer now. There's nothing you can do. So the only way out is that you keep praying for the other party. That's all. That the Lord will touch the other party and be willing to start submitting themselves to the process of true reconciliation, which begins by gradually aligning with the Lord. So there's nothing you can do than to pray. So keep praying, all right? And if there's still somebody that can reach that person, then let the person be involved. Most likely you cannot, if you have separated from someone, maybe a woman separated from an husband due to whatever can happen, and the woman is still in church, is following and growing, and the husband is off, and there's nobody that can reach the husband. It's hard. Because you can't be the one reaching him. What did I say? You can't reach him. You can only reach him through prayer. You can't be the one. So show him, follow. You can't show Lord Church Lane. He will abuse you. So you can't handle the case. So you can pray. Hopefully, trusting that there's somebody that can still reach the man. Maybe the man's pastor, the man's parents. Watch him basoro. Adura no la mama gbalo. There's nothing we can do. So that's the only way forward, sir. Prayer. Separation is a very painful thing to manage. But at times, it's unavoidable. For some marriage cases, there's nothing you can do. If you don't separate them, they will kill themselves. Everybody say key. No, not kill. That's English man. That's English man of it. Everybody say key. They go key themselves. Now, remember, they say kill. Sir, key. So, to avoid them from killing themselves, we have to separate them. Sad to say, some marriage cases, it's even better people go their separate way. Forever, as in. Oh, yes, that's painful, but it's the truth. It's better they go their separate way. They cannot come together again. Except a miracle happens to one of them. So you can't marry the devil, sir. Some people, they are Satan. What is the incarnate of Satan, sir? Oh, God, oh, if ever by him. If you go back, you say, Pastor, he has a concern, he will kill you, sir. So you can't. Those are sad cases of marriage. All right? Sad cases. I've heard of many, very sad and painful. Painful separations, but the other party has to move on. You know, it was when I became a pastor that I understand the practicality of things like this. Before I became a pastor, I used to believe that all marriages can work. Because I have faith. So now I know. I know better now. Some marriages cannot work. Not because God cannot fix it. Because men no agree. What did I say? Because they're not willing. What do you do? They're not willing to agree. And you can't. There's a limit of which you can go. God cannot even force yourself. So there are permissions. And at times, innocent people can fall prey. Maybe either party. All right? I know a case of a dear brother. He's an older brother. We grew up in the same area. He married a lady. I think I need to share this and I'll round up. He married a lady. Well, I won't tell you the process because, but his pastor had fears and told him. But, you know, at times a minister can have fears, but they cannot put their hand on it. That's it. So, pastor just showed concern. But because he felt that the pastor was biased, because the lady was not from their church. So, but the pastor had to surrender, but the pastor had a check. But he didn't know what that check was. The pastor didn't know what that check was. So they got married. All right? So they got married. So I think it went about 6-7 years childless. That's when problem began. Not from the guy. So all of a sudden, the lady began to mess up. She was actually going to sleep with men. Yes. Yes. I don't know. Maybe she was desperate. I don't know. So the guy tried a lot. Then eventually, they started having fights. And their fights were physical. And a physical fight, like a woman throwing knife at you. Don't know anything. So there was a time that he almost died. I think the knife almost hit a very sensitive part in his body, almost died. So he ran away. Now, between that time, I heard that the lady had always come and gone. She can go for like some months before she should just appear. I never see a case day. Cases day. She just go and come back. You know what I'm saying? Your wife leaves you and you don't see her until 4 months' time. Yes, now. That was a peculiar case. So, they had to separate. After that point, some of the people that love, they say, don't go back home again. Just leave the home. Take your things. You know, they say it's a woman that used to park away from us. When This one, winch. If you marry winch, he go winch you. So, the guy ran, no? He's happily married today. Yes. Guy ran. So, there are some bad cases. There's nothing you can do about it. So, in those kind of cases, we know what to do. We advise you well. When we look at the situation. So, I don't know. So I'll keep praying for the guy. And if you pray well, you know, good prayer. So, if you are still young, go and remarry. I don't know. Before you get to a stage where it will be difficult for you, move on. You say, what the Bible says, divorce, all those things. Let me tell you this. All those things, they have applications at several levels. They are relative. All those things are relative. People are just, we have to look into it. Maybe not today. We have to look into it well, what exactly it means. Marriage issues too. It's not a one-side thing, sir. All right. So somebody that had a bad marriage, toxic marriage, is broke. So he should not marry again. It doesn't happen. So it doesn't happen. We need to understand those things well. All right. The Lord will give us understanding. All right. You know, the reason why some of those things have not taught them well, number one, he needs understanding. Number two, we are afraid of people's hearts. Because you can, when you teach some things and with to bad people, or they will use it wrongly. So it's like saying that people can divorce. Ah, okpeo. Shaya moko jema. Morika bata. Morireo. Yeah, but boy, you didn't leave my house today. So here you get. So it's not an information you give canal people. It's going to be abused. It's going to be people be changing wife. As Obiri Ponta only mashele for me. Adiba sedan. Meanwhile, that is not what the Bible is saying. So we are not looking at peculiar cases that are very, very difficult, very toxic marriages that we have done everything to resolve and nothing can be done. And for the people to move their separate ways. Uh-huh. Such people, there's a way we counsel them and guide them. All right? It as well. Yes, that's it, Pastor. Okay, teaching one testimony. How do we journey? I've taught you, I'm not answering this. We just come for teaching. That's what we are teaching, Abi, Pastor. Well, I've been teaching on it, so just come for meetings on Thursdays and listen to my last teaching, my last two teachings in particular. Go and listen well. It will be clearer to you. Can we move forward, please? All right. Is that all the questions? We have two more questions. All right. No. That bridal company, we have handled that. Are you sure you're not? I don't know. No question anymore. All right. Can you bring the table, please? Maybe they are bringing old questions or something. I'm sure they're one of those questions I've handled before. Can we bring in the communion table? Let's have our communion. All right. Okay, I need to say this, that we have an ongoing Baba's Land project. I want to encourage us. I just feel that at times it's good to say this. Over the weekend, like I said, I ministered in Lagos. And yesterday, I had the privilege of meeting with their business community. So one thing I found out is at times, opportunities come for us. They come occasionally for us as a people, for God to lift our states. I'm talking about even the economy. And at times, people don't take advantage of it. I don't know any other thing than this Baba's Land project. Some people have given sacrificially. I want to encourage you. The window is about closing. At times we just have an assumption that some people are going to do it. If you want to be blessed, you don't think that way. I am your head pastor. I can't tell you how much I've given to that project. I'm telling you the truth. I can't tell you. But you see, so that by the time some people, they walk some realm, you would wonder that so I told them in love, I said the primary way of God blessing you is by giving. I don't know any other way. The other ones you invest, you save, all those ones are the other side. Yes. But you want God to lift your state up from where you are, sir. I beg you. Go and give. Look for opportunity to give. These are good grounds to give. Because I know at times. We may have reasons not to do so. The last time when we gave, that was the first time we bought the first 5 plots. All right. I think some people were still believing. That usual way. It will sort out itself. The thing, that was even a shorter window. I think we We did the first payment within the space of 1 month. And then that window was closed. Me, I'm feeling that somebody should be feeling bad that we purchased 5+ and your dime was not there. Yes, you should feel bad. You should not be happy and okay and you are just living like that. You should feel bad because those are major, I call it fertile grounds of sowing. If I don't teach you this thing, I'm not a good pastor. My wife asked me one time, you know, I'm talking about, I said, when people have protracted financial difficulty, go and check it. They are not giving. Protracted money, and they call challenge. Go and check the person well. I can tell you experientially, if you have a track record of giving consistently, a season will come in your life where you will see so much grace. Remember, I'm teaching you 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You will come into a season of always abounding. You don't have seed in the ground, sir. You will also. You will come to a point, you will just be having challenges. Let me say, I know at times as church, because me, I used to ask questions. You know, this is what Papa used to do. I heard in those days. When they notice that a brother is having challenging finances, they ask you, are you paying your tithes? Are you sowing? Papa will ask you. So that you don't invest. So if you give that person 100 million, if you give that person money, the person will come back begging. The person is going to come back begging. The person, help that person. The doors will not open. The windows of heaven will not open. I don't know if I'm making, I didn't plan to say it. I just felt I needed to tell us that another season will close very soon. I beg you. We're told what to give. Go on the way out to give. That 40,000 they told us to give is very small money. Some people did not give 40,000. Some people gave in a ton of millions. They said, I have millions. Everybody has money to go and use it to do anything they like. If they gave you that amount of money, it's even considerate. If you have more, give more. All right? So that God will bless you. I won't say more than that. All right. Can we begin to thank the Lord?